Hello everyone, my name is Mahendra. I am part of Pentecostal Anglican Church at 10 a.m. I am going to read God's Word, so please grab your Bible or your device. Today's Bible reading is from Psalm 143 and Luke chapter 18, verse from 1 to 8. Psalm 143. Lord, hear my prayer, listen to my cry for mercy. In your faithfulness and righteousness, come to my relief. Do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you. The enemy pursues me, he crushes me to the ground. He makes me dwell in the darkness like those long dead. So my spirit grows faint within me, my heart within me is dismayed. I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. I spread out my hands to you. I thirst for you like a parched land. Answer me quickly, Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I will be like those who go down to the pit. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life. Rescue me from my enemies, Lord, for I hide myself in you. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. For your name's sake, Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring me out of trouble. In your unfailing love, silence my enemies, destroy all my foes, for I am your servant. And next reading is from Luke chapter 18, verse from 1 to 8. Luke chapter 18. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in the town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God.
Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would teach us these words of Jesus so that we might not give up when it comes to prayer. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you notice how tired we are, people are so tired. We're tired of hearing about case numbers. We're tired of lockdown. We're tired of Zoom, even though it's been such a big help. We're tired of the lack of connection. We're just tired. But there's another reason why it is that we're tired. Because there's something which God has given us, which is supposed to fill us and help us and encourage us and lift our vision to the throne room of heaven. It's supposed to be the expression of our coming to the Father, to pour our heart out to him, to fellowship with him and to commune with him, and we're not doing it. What is it? It's prayer. Could it be the reason why we're tired is because we're not praying? Prayer is the expression of our intimacy with God. It's coming into the presence of our Heavenly Father. It's communing with him. It's the expression of our faith. And could it be that the reason why we feel such a vacuum at the moment is because we're not praying. We're continuing a series called Never Give Up, where we're chasing a single word in the Bible. It's a word which is used 6 times. It's a word which means to give up, to lose heart, to get weary. And we saw last week, we saw that we are not to give up on gospel speaking because of the resurrection glory that is ours. And this week, we're going to see not to give up in relation to prayer. Our word is used by Jesus in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, verse 1, where Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Not give up. That's our word. Praying is an area we need to grow in, isn't it? It's an expression of our trust in God. One of the goals of our church is to grow to be like Christ as we understand and act upon his word. We want to grow to be like Jesus, to have his trust, the trust that withdrew to pray to his heavenly Father, and the trust that had a rich prayer life. We want to grow to be like him. This is an area for us to grow in. So we're going to talk about not giving up when it comes to prayer. And we're going to learn 3 things from Jesus. We're going to hear the difficulty of prayer, first of all. Then we're going to see the solution of Jesus to the difficulty. And then we're going to see the proof of what Jesus is saying. So first, let's hear the difficulty of prayer. Look at the reason again why Jesus is telling us this parable. Luke 18, verse 1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. See, the whole reason Jesus is teaching us, telling us this parable, is because prayer is difficult. If you want to be a good prayer, you've got to know this. There's a huge temptation to give up on prayer. Why is it that I can spend hours and hours talking to a good friend and focusing on what he's saying, and I can be engaged in the conversation, but when it comes to prayer, my mind wanders and I forget what I'm saying, and I even forget that I'm praying? We know from experience that prayer is hard, but it's the context of this parable as well that tells us that prayer is hard. Because look at chapter 18, verse 1, it says, then Jesus, in other words, the word then is a word that makes us think about what has just happened. And whenever you read a parable of Jesus, you've got to look at the context that it's in. And it makes us look back to the end of chapter 17, where Jesus has just been talking about the end of the world. And in Luke 17, verse 22, he tells his disciples that they will long for the day when Jesus returns. The wait will be long, but they'll long for that day to happen. And when it happens, it will happen suddenly. It will be like, verse 26, the days of Noah and the days of Lot, when people were buying and drinking and selling and planting and building, and then suddenly God's judgment came. God's judgment came suddenly. But we mustn't be like Lot's wife, we're told, who looked back. We mustn't have a foot in both camps. We need to live for God's kingdom. See, the context tells us that we're living in a time where we're waiting for Jesus to come back, and we're living in evil days, and we must live for the kingdom of God, not this world. We must endure these days. See, Christians are waiting. We're waiting to get home. We're waiting for the battle to be over. We're waiting for eternal rest. And the huge temptation is to give up, but we have to keep going. How do we keep going? How do we persevere? How do we endure? Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Do you see the aim of this parable? Jesus wants his disciples to say their prayers. How are we going to persevere? It's by being people of prayer. People who cry out to their Heavenly Father, people who cry out for His kingdom to come and to ask for strength to keep going until He returns. No matter how long the wait, we should always pray. And that means to persevere in prayer. As we wait for Jesus to come back, the way that we wait is to pray. That helps us to not give up. See, prayer is hard because we're waiting. I need to hear what Jesus is saying here, don't you? I need to know that prayer is hard. That's the first thing that He tells us. But here's the second thing. Here's His solution to the difficulty of prayer. It's a parable. It's a story. And the characters in this story, there are two of them. There's a judge and there's a widow. A judge who's a powerful man in society. But this judge, he has no fear of God above him. He has no compassion for people below him. And yet he's powerful. He's a law unto himself. He's so different to the other character in this story, a widow, a powerless woman. In this culture, a widow would rely upon a man to plead her case. But she's got no man to protect her. She's defenseless. She's helpless. And yet she wants justice. The word justice is used four times here in this story. It could be that she's owed money or she's owed some kind of compensation. But one thing's for sure, she's not getting it. This is a world where a single case could be settled by a single judge, and her judge is not giving her justice. And so she uses the only weapon that she has. She uses her persistence. Verse 3 tells us that she keeps coming to him over and over and over again. That's the sense of the word. And then Jesus lets us in on the innermost thoughts of the judge. Verse 4, for some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. Eventually, this godless, loveless, heartless judge gives in, and he finally gives the widow justice. Why? Why does he give her justice? Well, it's not because he fears God or he cares about her. No, no. Verse 5 literally reads, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't give me a black eye. He's worried that this nagging woman is going to wear him down. He just wants peace and quiet. That's why he gives her justice. He just wants to get rid of her. I mean, what a heartless guy, just giving her what she wants so that he can have his own peace and quiet. His reasons are purely selfish. Now, here's the thing. What can we learn about prayer from this heartless, godless man? What can we learn? I remember reading this as a young Christian, and I remember reading this and thinking, is this what God is like? When I pray, am I bothering God? Have I got to just keep nagging him and praying more and more and more, and then eventually God will give in and give me what I'm asking for? Is that the lesson here? No, that's missing the whole point, actually, of what this story is about. Look at verse 6. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. In other words, he says, let's learn from this selfish man. Despite the fact that this man is selfish and he's godless and he's heartless, you know what he says? He says, I will see that she gets justice. That's what he says. And the point is, if a heartless, godless judge can do that and give justice, what do you think a loving, compassionate God is like? See, the key is not that God and the judge are the same. The key is that they're not the same. If a wicked man can sometimes do good, being evil, how much more will God, who is always good, do that which is right? And what Jesus is going to do next is he's going to tell us what God is like. Oh, this is going to help us pray. Listen to this. He's going to tear down the God that we've created in our own image. And he's going to put before us the God who is actually there. So be prepared, and be prepared to not give up and to pray when you understand what our God is like. This is the main point of the parable, actually. It's to tell us what God is like. Here's the main point, verse 7. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Literally, will not God absolutely bring about justice? Answer, of course he will. And will he keep putting them off? Literally, will he be patient towards them? The answer, of course he'll be patient. Of course he won't put them off. Verse 8, I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. See, God isn't like the judge. The judge gave justice to a stranger because she nagged him. But God gives justice to his chosen ones whom he loves passionately. God has his chosen ones, his elect. The elect means that God is determined, God is stubbornly determined to bring them into his eternal kingdom. These are the ones God won't abandon. These are the ones to whom God has said that I don't want you to lift a single finger to earn my love. I'm going to shower my love upon you freely. These are the ones whom God sent his son to die for. See, when God acts, he always acts out of concern for his chosen ones. He won't abandon them. So when these ones come to him day and night and they ask their father for justice, will he be reluctant? Will he put them off? Of course he won't. See, God is not like the judge in the story. The judge acted out of selfishness, but God acts out of compassion. Our God is eager to act. Look, I'm a father, and I delight when my little boy comes up to me with a book, and he holds it up, and he says, Daddy, read it, Daddy, read it. I mean, what kind of dad would I be if I said, no, son, I'm never going to read you a single book again? What kind of heartless dad would do that? No, I love when my son comes to me with that request. I love it more than he loves bringing the book to me. Let me tell you, if only we understood that about God, if only we understood that he loves us more, he loves hearing us more than we love being heard. Many of us need to tear down the image of God that we have in our mind. Get that picture out of your mind that says that God doesn't care. You've got to know the one to whom you're praying to. That's the key. God cares more than you do about the things that we ask for. You think you're concerned for justice? Well, God is more concerned for justice. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17. It says, listen to the character of God. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow. He loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. See, this is the character of our God. He loves the vulnerable. He cares for his people. He's concerned for justice. When you pray, it says a lot about what you think about God. Do you realize that? When you open your mouth and you say a prayer, you're showing me what you think about God. There's a story about a king who was in his throne room, and he was meeting with his advisors, his noblemen, his high ministers of state, and suddenly there was a knock at the door, a bang at his door, the door of the throne room. And the throne room burst open, and a little boy ran into the room, and one of the king's royal guardsmen, he yelled at the boy and said, "Hold it right there, boy! Don't you know that you're disturbing the council of the king?" And the little boy, he just laughed at this guardsman. He said, "He's your king, but he's my daddy." See, you've got to know your relationship to the person that you're talking to, don't you? And you've got to know your relationship with God. He's your Father. You're His elect. That's why you can pray to Him. That's why He will give you justice. Have you ever heard someone pray and you've thought, wow, they really know how to pray? Do you know why they know how to pray? It's because they know the one to whom they're praying to. One of the reasons why our prayers get so stale and so boring and so shallow is because we don't know the one to whom we're praying. I've got to tell you too, timing is everything. Jesus says in verse 8, I tell you, says Jesus, He will see that they get justice and quickly. Okay, there's a certainty about this. He will see that they get justice and quickly. Now, the tricky word here is the word quickly, isn't it? Because often justice doesn't come quickly. Often it doesn't come in time. But the word quickly can mean suddenly, or it can mean certainly. And what Jesus is saying here is he's saying at the very first possible moment, God's justice will come. Okay, it's not a promise that God's justice will come in your time. It's a promise that God's justice will come. It's a reminder that, you know, when it looks like that God's justice has been delayed, it doesn't mean that He'll delay. Even though we're left waiting, there'll be a day when God will vindicate His elect. On that last day, when Jesus comes back, everything that is wrong with this world will be put right. Ultimate justice will be served. There will be no loose ends that are left untied. Everything will be made straight as Jesus Himself comes to execute justice. God's timing is not ours. Remember that. This promise is not a blank check to have immediate answers to every prayer that I pray. But it will come. It will come. He will bring it exactly at His right time. Do you think God delays answering our prayer because He can't be bothered? No, He doesn't. He can be bothered. He cares deeply. Christy and I have had our hearts break as we've heard stories about what's happening in Afghanistan from people that we know who know people who were there. There's Christians who have gone into hiding. There's women who haven't been leaving their homes. There's people living in fear. And I pray that justice will be done. But I also know that it will happen in God's time, that God will fulfill His purposes. So if you feel angry towards God and you find it hard to trust Him, then remember these words of Jesus and let them refresh you that His justice will come. Because there's a question at the end of this parable. However, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? Faith in what? Faith in the goodness and compassion of God. Will He find us bitter and untrusting, or will He find us praying? Because the proof of your faith is that you will persevere in prayer. This is the God who delights in listening to your prayers and acting in response. Do you understand that God is kind and compassionate? Because if you do, then you will pray. That's the solution to that Jesus has to get us to pray. It's the character of God. Now, I could finish there and that'd be enough to work on, wouldn't it? But you know what we need? We need proof that this God is compassionate, because I find, not only in myself, but in people that I talk to, that our biggest problem is that we don't believe that God is good. Oh, we know it, but deep down we don't believe it. So I want to give you proof of what Jesus is saying as I finish. I want to show you the proof of the character of God, and I want to do that in two ways. Two proofs of His character. The first proof is in the life of Jesus. See, when you're looking at Jesus, according to Hebrews 1:3, you're looking at an exact representation of who God is like. And so come with me to the end of this chapter in Luke 18. And I want you to see what happens here. It's very interesting. In Luke 18, verse 33, there's a blind man who has a prayer request. He hears Jesus passing by. And he, verse 38, he called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Do you see the blind man here is doing exactly to Jesus, exactly what the widow did to the judge? Right? The parallels are staggering. Here we have one powerless person asking a powerful ruler for something. And notice that both of them keep asking. The blind man keeps asking and the widow keeps asking. And the parallels are staggering. What we're being told here is that Jesus is not like the unjust judge. What does Jesus do? He hears the blind man that he keeps asking. And what does he do? He stops. He orders him to come and he asks. Oh, he gets down on his level. And he says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man says, "I want my eyesight back." See, Jesus is not like the unjust judge. He's compassionate. He loves granting requests. This is the face of God. Our God is a compassionate God. So persevere in prayer. Never give up. That's one proof. But you know, there's a greater proof. And the greatest proof of all is the cross. Let me ask you this. How much do you think God loves his son, Jesus? How much do you think he loves him? Do you think he loves him a little bit, a lot, or infinitely? Oh, he's got to love him infinitely, doesn't he? He is. God loves his son with an infinite love. And yet we're told in 1 Peter 1:20, that before the creation of the world, God chose his dear son, he chose him to be as a lamb to die for you. Before the world was even created, that's what God purposed to do. He must love us with the same love that he loves his son, mustn't he? I find that hard to believe, but surely that's what the cross means. That God loves us with an infinite love, that he would be willing to choose his own son, whom he loves infinitely, to die for you, so you could be his son as well. I find that hard to believe. But you know what your problem is? You don't believe it enough. You know how I know that? It's because I don't believe that enough. I don't believe enough that God loves me with an infinite love. If I believe that, you know what I'd do? I'd pray more. If you believe that, you know what you would do? You would pray more. If we believe that God loved us with that kind of love, with an infinite love, we wouldn't be worried about this life. We would relax in his love. We wouldn't go around feeling bitter and sorry for ourselves when he didn't give us what we asked for, because if we believe that he loved us infinitely, we'd accept that he would say no to some things that we'd asked for. And we would be so confident in his love that when he says no to us, it wouldn't shatter us. It wouldn't make us feel resentful. It wouldn't make us question his goodness. When he says no, we'd say to him, "Oh, he loves me. I know that he loves me." But the fact that he said no is not because he doesn't love me, because I already know that he loves me. He sent his son to die for me. He must have bigger reasons to say no to me than I can realize. So friends, there's your proof. It's the cross of Christ. There's the proof of his love. So rest in his love, delight in his love, and don't give up when it comes to prayer, because God will bring about his justice. Pray to God to bring his justice now. Pray for his kingdom to come. Pray for renewed zeal to live for him. And pray for your own prayer life to get better. And cast all your anxieties upon him, because he cares for you. I'll pray. Oh, Father, help us to truly believe that you care for us, to truly believe that your love is infinite. Your love is unfailing. Your love is steadfast and sure. And you've given the proof of that by sending Christ for us. Oh, Lord, may that drive us to our knees in prayer and persevere and keep trusting. For when you come back, we want to be among the ones who are trusting. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.